Welcome to episode 46 of The Summoned, a podcast dedicated to Judgment Eternal Champions miniatures game. I'm one of your hosts, David Coakley, a.k.a. Fabius Bile on the Discord. And as always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, David Wonky, Wonky Kong on the Discord. And how are things going for you this evening, Wonky?
I'm doing good. Excited for this episode because it's one that's been talked about a bit. And it's finally getting kicked off.
Mm-hmm. I think this was an episode that we came up with the idea for it at Adepticon via one of our listeners.
Yeah, I think so.
And we both immediately, like, they mentioned this idea to us, and we both immediately jumped on it. I was like, that's great. Now we just have to work it in, right?
Yep.
So I think it's going to be a good episode, and I hope everybody really seems to enjoy it. So, well, let's jump right into the normal start of the show, which is our Hobby Corner. So, obviously, Wonky, we know that the shed is built, all that stuff is taken care of. So we know that Shed Watch 2023 is over, and you started doing some other building last week on some new models.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get all of them finished, or do you still have some more to do?
I got a couple more to do, but it's nothing. None of them are usable in Judgment at the moment, so not really.
Not super worried about getting them done.
I mean, the only one is the 32 mil cradle, which I have the 54 mil built and painted. So, and cradle's not really a model I put on the table ever. So. There's not a lot of motivation to build a second cradle. So
that's fair and understandable.
And none of the other demons have rules that I have. It's only a couple of them anyways. So not really, didn't feel like there's a lot of value in it putting together.
No, that's fair. I mean, and especially since, as we've talked through multiple episodes, right, that really the building and painting is not really your side of the hobby. You really enjoy the gaming side of it.
That is very true.
That's understandable that you would look at that and go, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, you build anything recently?
So build-wise, no. I finally finished that terrain project I was working on last week or a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So now I'm on to my buddy's terrain, which is that Warcry terrain I was talking about on the last
episode. Yeah, the Warcry terrain, yeah.
Yep, so that's the next thing on my to-do list. Besides trying to start working out an idea of a warband for Warfare Weekend, if I'm able to make it, because obviously I'm not going to show up to Warfare Weekend and play with unpainted models. That is uncouth of me.
Yeah.
And
I mean, painting won't be required, so.
You know. No, but it is in my mind.
I guess that's true.
Even if it's 54s, right? I still want to show up and have them painted. So.
That makes sense.
Yep. But no, I think up on the chopping block for me, because I have been needing to get back into doing some painting of my own.
Yeah.
Instead of just painting for projects for other people or for other things that I need to do. I've got a couple of Infernos that are staring at me here.
That would be, he's a monster that sees the table a whole lot being a tier 3, so that'd probably be a pretty good one to get painted up.
Yeah, and well, I've got some ideas that I want to kind of play with. I've done basic fire schemes before.
Okay.
So I kind of want to get one done in that basic fire scheme of just the reds, the yellows, the whites.
Mm-hmm.
Or reds, orange, yellows, whites. And then I want to do one that's more of like that the Zinchian fire where it's almost like that.
Or it's like blues and yellows and stuff.
Blues, greens, and even like some pinks.
Yeah, so my V1 Inferno is painted kind of with a bit more of that style. It's like blues and whites for the flames, and then it's like more like gray for like the body kind of a thing.
Okay.
But the V1 is a lot more like elemental looking kind of guy, I feel like. Like the V2 Inferno has a lot of that, but the, like, when I think of like a more of a fire elemental, I think a picture a bit more of the V1. kind of a model.
Right.
Not that the V2 one doesn't clearly have some very, you know, key features of a fire elemental, but just like some of the way that the body and stuff looks. Granted, the V1 pose for an Inferno is horrendously bad.
Yes.
Like, I get what they were trying to go for.
Yeah.
But it just did not translate to the model right, because they're trying to make it look like it was like throwing a fireball.
Right.
But it almost looks more like he's trying to scratch his back or something. I don't know how to describe. Well, the V1 Inferno was a little goofy.
To me, he almost looked like he was kind of, as in a weird way, in a dancer's pose.
Okay, yeah, like, I could see that too.
You know, hand over head, hand across body, holding these fire flames that he's getting ready to like spin and throw out and stuff. And you're definitely right. The old one, to me, did not scream that as much as like the V2 one really does, in my opinion, scream more demon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why I'm really excited to do it. Not to mention at the at Adepticon, I think I bought like 3 of them.
Okay.
Of the PVC ones, because I was like, this is a monster that is constantly used. And
yeah, it's one to definitely have. Like, it comes in the starter. So usually most people you play against will also have one. Because I don't, like, if I was starting Judgment, I don't think I would not get the starter, just because the value that's in the starter is pretty good. Which means most people should have one. So, like, if you have one, your opponent has one, odds are you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Unless you get onto any of some of, like, the crazy maps. But, yeah, Inferno, definitely a monster that sees the table quite a bit.
Yep. So, yeah, I think he's probably going to be, unless I get, you know, a weird spike to paint somebody else.
Yeah.
I think he's probably going to be the next one, just because I can get him in and out and play with some of the new cuttlefish paints that I've got still.
Okay.
So, and how's the terrain coming along?
So we are, so the demo set I had from ages ago now is, my brother took the last of it to paint. He actually just texted me. I think most of it's actually done now. So,
nice.
And then I reached out to a local of mine to print the new stuff, mm-hmm. and he sent me a picture of it. So I think once I pick that up from him, I think I have enough for a full 5 stable. However, it will be between the mushroom and the regular forest, so it might be a little
weird looking.
But you know, based on like the old lore.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, I guess it's not that unheard of, right?
Right.
So, like, the way that the in-between, or what do they call it, Midian now, I think they're calling it, or something. Might not be the worst.
What are they calling it now?
I thought it was, like, Midian or something. I don't remember. Like, we haven't really gotten, like, Fluff re-released since the partnership
that's true.
Has happened. So it's a different, I don't know. They kicked out a couple of different names. I think I've got enough for a 5 stable once I pick the other stuff up. So then I'll need to get that stuff painted, so I'll have to schedule some hobby nights.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is my plan to have a full table painted and ready to go. Because I also have a set of 2D terrain, mm-hmm. that was like the, you know, test batch or whatever you want from Muse on Minis.
Right.
Which was nice. So I've been playing with 3D terrain in person. But the portability of the 2D terrain almost makes me not want to play with 3D terrain. right. Cause like, I just got it like in a little box that fits in my bag. So like, I can just take my bag, take my map bag, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Or if I want to bring 3D terrain, I got to bring an extra little bin that's got it all in it. So like, it's not the worst, but portability wise, 2D terrain is always, you know, king for that, obviously.
Of course. Of course.
But yeah, so I'm closing in a table, and then I'm trying to figure out what the cost would be, like time and like resin wise, to actually print another table or two worth of terrain.
Mm-hmm.
From my one local that is good at 3D printing, because I, you know, running events and even on game nights, having, you know, a couple of tables worth of 3D terrain, I think, will be kind of nice to have around. So,
yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I found out one of my locals here that I got involved with the hobby early on, or got involved with Judgment early on, he actually this last year got himself a printer and has started doing printing off some of the stuff from this. So he's like, well, if you need stuff, let me know. And I was like, ooh, I think I'll be taking you up on that.
Yeah, so I mean, pseudo news thing kind of related to hobby stuff. The other 3D stuff got released today or yesterday.
So I haven't looked at it yet myself.
Yeah, so it's all six effigies. They're calling them Corrupted, I think was the tagline for them. The Monster Pit, the Soul Pit, and Vajasha, I think, because they're giving us Vajasha, which is kind of cool.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was Vajasha, Soul Pit, Monster Pit. There was an additional shrine. I forget which that one looks like, because I just grabbed them all down. And then all of the effigies. So nice. Even Ista and Krognar.
Okay.
I have some minor complaints with the stuff. I got talked on the Discord. Random caveat. I'm not a big fan of the Monster Pits being up so high.
Yes, I remember you.
Yeah, and I don't know if other people feel this way, but the Monster Pits kind of look like a flower opening. I don't know how to describe it, really. Hold on. But it is cool looking. However, when you set a model on it, you did a lot of 40K, so like yeah. I come from playing War Machine.
Yeah.
And in War Machine, you used to have hills that you would want to tow onto a hill to get like the hill bonus,
mm-hmm.
which then led to like balancing models on dice.
Yep.
Because it's a hill, it's elevated.
Yep.
And I am slightly concerned with the Monster Pit and actually the Soul Pit as well. I think they look great. So the Monster Pit actually reminds me of, if I'm assuming, have you seen Aliens?
Yes, Alien. It reminds me of the egg from...
It kind of reminds me of the facehugger egg opening, but yep. It kind of looks like a plant opening up.
Yep.
Which is cool. It's like the monster's popping out of the plant. Love yeah. how it looks. My problem is that it, like, you would set the model on that, and then some Monster Pits are in or on top of terrain.
Correct.
So if you were also using the 3D terrain, because the 3D terrain is printed and templated in the like pieces, right? So it's
yep.
you know, the four hex forest, the two hex forest. There's not like a three hex forest or a single hex forest where you could just put the Monster Pit there. But then it's also hard to tell that then that thing is also forest.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like how the things look. But the thought of putting a model on top of it in that hex has me slightly concerned.
Yep.
Now, easily enough, you could remove that thing from the hex when the monster's there. When the monster moves, put that hex back.
Right.
It's a bit more of a concern for Soul Pits, but I'm fairly confident there's no Soul Pit in terrain anymore. Now that they changed map 7.
Yeah, I don't think there's any Soul Pit in terrain anymore now that I think about it, but...
Yeah.
But definitely, I agree with your concern on the Monster Pit, because I have seen wobbly model syndrome so much, especially being a Warhammer guy.
Yeah.
That is one of the easiest ways that models fall and break.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, with PVC, if once that is in people's hands, it's not as much of a concern.
Yeah. But, and it's not like they're super high either. Like, the Soul Pit looks like...
No, but, like, what you're talking about yeah. here, right, is you... Like, my concern is not a Monster Pit and a model sitting on top of just a Monster Pit. It's the concern of, I know there's a map where there's a Monster Pit that's in a forest.
Yep. And also in the 7 Hex.
Yeah.
I think there's cloud, one right? or two maps that have a monster in that.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things that it's like, that's a slight concern, because now you're putting a piece of terrain that is, or a deal that is elevated that you put a model on.
Yeah.
On top of a piece of terrain that has, you know.
Correct.
Other terrain on it. So yeah. it's just a slight concern. I'm not going to say it's good or bad yet. Obviously, I want to see it in person and see how it looks on a board.
Yeah, I think I need to test it. My other concern is also for people that have V1 models. Now, obviously,
right,
you know, they're not going to design with V1 models in mind, and I don't expect them to.
Right.
However, if you are using V1 models, it, you know, makes the problem a lot worse. Right.
Right.
So I know there was some debate on it on the Discord, and like I said, I love how they look. I actually really like the idea of them like opening up from the plant, mm-hmm. kind of releasing the monster. The soul pit looks fine. And I think they're cool designed. I just worry a little bit about playability.
Right.
And I think in Judgment, that's been a big reason why I enjoy the game is the game rules itself.
Yep.
And not overcomplicating things. So the playability of stuff is a very, very big deal to me. And this is, I mean, again, it's hexes, so it's easy enough to just, you know, okay, I'm going to take the monster pit off the board while I put the monster down. And then if the monster goes, you know, moves off of it, okay, put the monster pit back.
Right.
Not that big of a deal. And that's kind of the nice thing about hexes is it's easy to do that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So it's not the biggest deal, but it is kind of my only gripe. And granted, I love the fact that we've gotten all this stuff, that they're trying to make it up to people that back the Kickstarter, you know, because of the delays, which have been frustrating for, you know, everyone.
Right.
So it is cool that they are giving us the 3D, you know, stuff that we can print. So that I do, you know, I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah.
I think that is a thing that got brought up in the Discord that felt worth mentioning.
Yeah. Let's be clear here, right? We are not saying we are unappreciative of this. We're not saying anything like that. We're very happy to see this stuff coming out to make it so we can start getting to the 3D boards. Because 3D terrain is something that definitely will help set this game apart. But it is, anytime you're dealing with 3D terrain, 3D models, and you start talking about stuff setting up on top of other pieces of terrain and such, you have to start bringing up those concerns because these are your models. Let's be real. Even though you didn't paint them, right? You have spent money, and a painter has spent time and effort on them. And I know you don't want to see your models broke, just like every other hobbyist out there. So that's a concern. And I think it's a valid concern to bring up. So, but yeah, I'm looking at them right now. I popped open my mini factory account and was like, oh, hey, what is, I haven't seen actually these. Let me take a look.
Yeah.
So now that I'm seeing the effigies in like this aspect, I'll be honest with you. I know last episode I said I wasn't 100% sure about the effigies.
Yeah.
For the most part, I actually don't mind. Like I'm looking at them and I don't mind the Ista, the Krognar. Really, the only one I still have a gripe with is Tomas. But I think that's just because Tomas is one of my favorite gods, and I'm like, that feels like that. My boy's just been done dirty. But they still, it's nice that they're out there and for people to start rocking and rolling with.
Yeah, they're... I mean, yeah, the Gruul one still with the, like, mushroomy look is not my favorite.
Yeah, it's a little harder to tell.
Yeah, so, like, I don't hate it. It'll be nice to have the Gruul effigy.
Right.
But I do kind of prefer the base one was in the Kickstarter.
No, that makes sense.
But yeah, I think it's good that we're getting this stuff. Hopefully people, I know there's Gamer Dad on Discord was taking orders if you wanted...
And thank you to him for doing that.
I don't know what the orders look like or what he ended up doing, but I think he was getting some of it done for Nova, which I think is coming up really fast.
It is. It's at the end of August.
So,
but no, I want to put a big shout out to anybody that's out there amongst, you know, the Discord or is amongst the Judgment crew that is actually 3D printing terrain, 3D printing these files for people to help get this out and in people's hands. Big shout out to you guys and thank you for doing that, because that is a big help. All right. Well, Wonky, I know we've got a pretty big episode, so we probably ought to step on and move right into the next section for tonight, which is Judgment News. So yeah, let's talk about this a little bit. What do you got for us?
Yeah, just a couple of quick things, some quick reminders. So we've got, Nova, I guess, is coming up, which is East Coast towards the end of August. But there are some other smaller events going on. I haven't seen any other ones.
So I will give you the dates real quick for Nova. I found
it. Oh, for Nova. Okay.
Nova is August 30th through September 3rd.
Okay. Yeah, and they are doing, I believe, both 3s and 5s there. So that's coming up at the end of the month. And that is Washington, D.C. area-ish, I believe, for Nova.
Correct.
So it's kind of the next convention that's got stuff. I believe the packet is out there. It's pretty much the same as the Adepticon packet with some minor tweaks based on models that have been released. And then outside of Nova, we've got two events coming up in the Midwest. We've got Sudsman Day again on August 26th. That is in Evanston, Illinois, which is a northern suburb of Chicago. I know I will be there. I think we're up to 2 or 3 of my locals that are going to be driving down there for it, because it's not terrible drive for us. And then after that one on September 9th, I'm hosting a tournament in New Berlin, Wisconsin, which is about 20 minutes outside of Milwaukee.
Okay.
And that one will be pretty small. I don't even think we're going to do an entrance fee for it. We might just get together and play games kind of on a Saturday, kind of feel out the turnout is what we're thinking.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we're doing. And then I know we've got 1 or 2 people that are for sure. And then we've got a handful of maybes. So it might just be a bit more round robin than a strict, tournament type deal. But if you show up, you'll be able to get multiple games in. I will guarantee that.
Yeah. I know the August 26th one, I am not going to be able to make that one. I checked all my schedules and stuff, and it's just not doable. But we are a month out at the moment of recording this from your event.
Yeah.
And there's myself and Coonerbus are actually looking at making the road trip for that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Cause that's a bit of a drive for you guys, eh?
It's a little bit of a drive for sure. but it's one of those things that, if you know a good place to stay or somewhere that's up there or somebody's, we'll figure it out. Who knows?
Yeah, I'll have to look at that. But yeah, because that is a bit of a hike for you guys. It's not a drive up, do the event, drive home kind of a thing. So
yeah.
But
if maybe I can even grab Watts and drag his butt up there for the weekend, and if we could do that, then it's like, oh, okay, cool. We'll drive out the night before.
Yeah.
Play the day of, and then we can still drive back that night, and we'll just take shifts of driving.
Yeah, as I'll say, because six-ish hours?
I don't know. Let me check real quick.
It's a bit of a drive to come up for an event.
Let me check on that real quick. So how many people do you have so far?
I think we have like 3 or 4, including myself. So okay. I've been trying to poke people I know that have played the game that have been not as active in V2 for, it's summer. Weeknights can be kind of rough, on weekly game night. I get it, but I'm trying to get them, enough advance and enough poking. Hopefully we'll get a couple of those guys out. I think there's also a couple of Chicago guys that are also planning on coming up.
I would poke Josh Chichester.
Okay. The Michigan group. Yeah, I think I'll have to check with those guys and see. But
I would poke them and start poking them now, because you might be able to get a bunch of them.
Yeah.
To definitely pop in or pop over for it, but so I looked. It's about a 7-hour and 40-minute drive.
Oh, that's a long one. To...
it's about the same drive as it is to Chicago for Adepticon.
Yeah.
I think it's actually like 40 minutes longer is all.
Should be, I guess it depends
roughly,
because it's like an hour and a half ish from me to Chicago, And the game store is about 20-ish minutes kind of toward Chicago for me, so maybe.
Yeah, so it's, according to this, to get to actual, like, middle Chicago on the, you know, on the lake.
Yeah.
It's like 7 hours, 5 minutes. So it's like 6.5 hours to where we usually go for the hotel. So it's about an extra hour, but it's not that big of a deal. And who knows? Well, maybe I can get a couple guys and we can do that. So.
All right. Well, I think that's it for Judgment. If you guys ever have events that you want us to mention on the podcast,
please post them.
Yeah, post in the Discord, and we'll try and start broadcasting out about those for people.
And tag us.
Granted, keep in mind that we need some amount of lead time between when we record and when things get edited to be released. So, you know, don't give us that your event is a week away.
Yeah.
Get us a little bit earlier than that.
What I will ask is, if you're going to put it out there on the Discord and you tag us in it, please give us, like, let us know a month to a month and a half in advance of when you're doing it. Because we'll plug it for a couple episodes.
Yeah.
That way we can help you out. All right. Well, Wonky, I think that pretty well covers the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we want to talk about tonight is a challenge that was thrown to us by one of our listeners at Adepticon.
Yep.
So let's get right into it and enter the dojo. So, Wonky, what was the challenge that was thrown down to us at Adepticon?
We needed to make the worst warband, and after building said list, force the other co-host to play that warband in a game.
Uh-huh.
Against the warband that the other co-host made.
Yes. So, I really actually appreciated this challenge. I don't know about you, but I want to talk about this a little bit. So, we initially were planning to do this one like a week or so ago, and some real life matters came up to where we couldn't record. So, we've had a couple weeks to really think about this. I really appreciated sitting down and really having to think about this in the aspect of, like, the worst warband challenge possible. And my mind immediately went to something, you know, like one of those things where you're like, oh, hey, I'm going to grab Tomas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give you basically, I'm going to give you all the people who basically can't make use of the warband bonus or not the warband bonus, but like the effigy power, right?
Yeah.
And like stuff like that, it's like, yeah, that's a really easy thing to do for a worst warband challenge. But when I started thinking about this and building my list for you, I really, really thought about it and went, okay, if I were going to play this and if I were being forced to play this, I still want to give you some tools you can use, but I don't want to give you, like, the best tools, right? Like, I don't want to give you Rakir with Nias's poison.
Yeah, well, obviously, right? That's not the worst warband if you're having
exactly
synergy.
Right. So it's like, okay, so I instead of having to think about, okay, what combos do I want, I still started having to think about what are the really good combos that I don't want to use and I can't use then.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? How did your mindset go for this?
We did have to set some ground rules.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
And I think that's important when we're thinking about how to build the worst warband. So the rule set that we went with is whichever god you pick, and you can pick any god, you had to have at least 3 champions of that god.
Yep.
You have to have at least 1 defender, but you can't have more than 2 defenders. You need to have at least 1 soulist, but no more than 2 soulists. You are not required to bring the avatar. And then we are going to play this game, and this game will be played in immunity instead of veto. So that was a rule set. Now
I will be honest. I forgot that we decided we were going to play this in immunity.
Yeah, I think the idea is we wanted to have some amount of control when we played the game to, like, all right, I need to have this thing or, like, the game is going to be bad.
Yeah.
And so my thought process was to kind of look at what heroes aren't good, and then kind of pool together bad heroes, and then and then from there pick a god, and then what stuff just does not get any benefit from the god. Like, that was 100% my plan. Funnily enough, I actually was debating Gruul for a long time.
Okay.
Because Gruul, like, their warband bonus is just not useful on most maps.
Yep.
If you only have three champions, the effigy power has some benefit. And the Staff of Gruul, if you only have three champions, you're less likely to have things that it's good on.
Right.
However, I feel like as far as champion pool goes, Gruul has a pretty good champion pool.
Yeah, they do.
So I think it would be kind of hard to, like, with the way that I attacked it, or like with our rules that you had to have, you know, so many champions and whatnot. I actually thought Gruul was kind of strong because of that.
It makes sense. Which, I, speaking of the rules, I want to put this out there. The main reason we set these rules ahead of time is simply because we've seen the, what was it, the 5 or 6 defender list. We've seen the All Soulgazer list.
Yeah, the All Soulgazer one was one that Tirith played in one of the leagues, and I think he went like 2-2 or something. Like, he actually had reasonable success with it.
Yeah.
But we didn't want it to be like super, super gimmicky.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the idea was, can you make a bad warband with, like, rough parameters that people tend to build warbands with?
Yes.
To kind of give us a little bit of guardrail, because otherwise, yeah, you could just do, like, all right, I'm going to do all the defenders, but none of their abilities can be used on anyone, and, like, yeah, you can get kind of weird with it. So we thought, like, you got to have some guardrails to make it somewhat reasonable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my plan was just what heroes are bad, right? And let's start there. And then once I started doing that, like, a god became pretty apparent.
Right.
And then it was, okay, now that I've got my god, how can I do non-champions that just get zero benefit from being in that god? So
yep,
that was kind of my mentality. So
okay, that's it's interesting that we both kind of, like, we attacked it in two very different ways, and I love that fact, because where you went with the idea of pick champions that you look at and go, no, I don't think so. And then going, okay, who's the god that fits this? Yeah, and you're not getting anything from it. I love the fact that you did it that way. Whereas I looked at it and I went through and went, I picked my god first because I was like, you know, since I'm building this for Wonky, I'm going to pick a god that I know Wonky doesn't play that much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that is one way to do it as well. So
yeah, so I yeah, love the so fact that we tackled it from two different directions.
All right, so I guess with that, Fabius, why don't you start? Let's walk through your warband for me.
Okay.
And let's start with what god you picked and why, and then let's just start rattling off heroes and kind of give justification for why they slotted into your worst warband challenge warband.
Sure. So, obviously, if you've been a longtime follower of the podcast, you know there is a god that Wonky does not play. Wonky does not really enjoy playing. And so I thought, for the worst warband challenge, let's grab that god and make Wonky play it a little bit. And I ended up choosing Krognar.
Yeah.
You can hear the disappointment in his voice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I almost went Ista.
Really?
I see, almost went Ista.
Ista seems... So, from a god perspective, Krognar is kind of interesting because one action effigy recall is pretty useful.
It is. So, and where this factored in for me, right?
Yep.
Was, as I was thinking about this, as I was like, okay, if we're doing the worst warband challenge, I'm not thinking worst warband from the aspect of the god, the effigy power, all that. I'm thinking about, I was looking at it going, okay, I could easily take Ista here and your warband bonus is cool. When you die, you come back at full health. Ooh, yeah, we've all talked about that one and how it can be good, but it's really situational because you have to die for it to matter.
Correct.
And I was like, yeah, I could do that. But the same thing kind of like you had with Gruul.
Mm-hmm.
I started looking at Ista's champions and I was like, you know, they have a fairly strong...
Their champion pool is pretty good.
Their champion pool is pretty good. And since I have to give you three champions... I was like, crap.
Yeah, because they're effigy power, too. You definitely could take champions that just don't, like, Saiyan, for instance.
Yes.
Like, yeah, she gets nimble, but, like, is that really going to help her?
Right.
Kind of a thing, so.
Yeah. So, anyway, so with that, I was like, okay, let's give him something that is useful, which is the Krogger.
How nice of you.
Well, yeah, that. You know, I'm trying to, I'm not being a complete and total douche here.
Yeah.
Only mostly.
Yeah. I mean, that is basically the whole point of this. The whole point of this is to kind of be a little bit that way. Right?
The whole point of this challenge, in my opinion, okay, if we're talking about the spirit of the challenge versus the name of the challenge, right?
Yeah.
The spirit of the challenge to me was still build a warband with the intent of winning, but make it as challenging as possible.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of it. I 100% was.
And that's fine.
Let's make the worst thing I possibly could make.
Yeah, and that's fine. And that's where, like, it's an interesting challenge, right?
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. But that's where I was like, this is the spirit of the challenge. Because trust me, if I really wanted to be a dick, you and I both know, we both could have literally ended up with the same warband, and it probably would have been exactly what we've done here. Or what? Because trust me, I've looked at the warband you set up for me, which we're going to get into in a little bit.
Yeah.
And we both basically would have probably ended up with the same thing.
So.
But anyway, I went with what was the spirit of the challenge, and I was like, okay, the spirit of the challenge is to give you a warband that is still capable of winning, but you are going to have to get creative with it.
Yep.
And so that's where I was like, okay, Krogner makes sense. You don't play Krogner a lot.
Not at all.
Right. That's my point. You don't play Krogner. And so this is going to make you play it, but it's going to also give you a tool with it that you can still utilize, which is the one action effigy recall.
Yep.
All right. So let's get into the actual champions. And I'm just going to list off the three that are the champions first.
Okay.
So we can talk about them as a group. So I chose Cradle, Skull, and Maltique.
Okay.
So, obviously, within Krognar, Cradle is a Shadow Orb user. Still gives you the ability to drop some Shadow Orbs and utilize that effigy power.
Okay.
Occasionally where you need to, and she can Shadow Step and do some stuff. But I chose her specifically because while she does have dual wield, she's still only melee 6.
Yep.
And against most people, she's only getting 2 dice, then 1 dice on the dual wield, right?
Yeah, she has a couple of problems.
She has some points where she is a little bit rougher. So I looked at it and went, I can minimize some of your damage output because her damage is only 1, 2, 4. She's only going to get 2 to 3 dice if she's swinging on a marked target, you know, unless she's getting assistance, which, dear God, I hope you're giving her assistance.
You gave me so many good options to do that with in this list, so.
I know. I actually did. But I also thought that gives you the ability to deal with, like, some abilities that are put out, right? She gives you a little bit of flexibility, but she's not a major damage piece.
Yeah, but she also gives you a Shadow Orb user, which...
She does.
Which is a big deal in Krogner. So I guess from that perspective, she actually is probably pretty important in this warband.
She definitely can be. But you also have the frickin' orb you can pick up, too.
No, so. That's true.
Right. Now, Skull, I looked at your two defenders, right? That are in God. And it was Lugdrug or Skull. And I was like, I've seen Lugdrug do work. Lugdrug can do some work. But don't get me wrong, Skull has points where he can do some work too. but you really have to be okay with that coin flip.
Mm-hmm.
And a coin flip still is only a coin flip.
That is true.
And so it's, once again, minimizing those attack dice. So it's like your warband doesn't have a ton of damage that it does with just those two first models. But Skull has one of the best defensive abilities in the game with Bulwark, too.
Yeah.
So you have some tools there, right? So I don't feel bad. I didn't feel bad by putting those two in the band from Krognar. But if you noticed, I've avoided a lot of the heavy hitters.
Well, obviously.
Obviously.
It's the worst warband challenge. Right. I'm not getting... Spoiler alert, there's not going to be a Rakir or Zarin in this warband.
Or a Thorgar.
Yeah. Well, it's Krognar. Thorgar is a little less, less common. But, yeah.
But he's still a heavy hitter. You're not going to get mm-hmm. one of them, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing for my warband. If you give me a Thorgar or, you know, one of those big heavy hitters, I'm going to look at you and go, what?
Yeah.
And then Maltique, I was like, she's a shooter. She gives you some options to deal with against people. She does have the true damage she can do against a defender. But at the same time, she has no melee engagement.
Yep.
So it's like if this turns into a slugfest, she's at a point where she's kind of stuck, right?
Yep.
So that's kind of where I went with those champions. I'm not sure how I felt. I'll be honest. I wasn't 100% sure I felt good giving you Maltique. Just because she is a champion of every god?
Yeah, I felt a slightly... Spoiler, I also gave Maltique, so... But by rule, she yep. is a champion, so she counts for the three champions.
Correct. I felt a little dirty doing that. And I actually had almost given you Kane.
Oh, jeez, that would have been too nice.
It would have been. And then I realized I gave you Skull, and I was like, no, you can't have Kane and Skull. but yeah, so I ended up choosing Maltique for that last slot. Then for your out of god characters, because I went full four out of god, there was no reason not to.
Yeah.
So I gave you Zyvera because I still had to give you a Soul Gazer, and I sure as hell wasn't giving you Cruel, Nias, or any of the rest of them.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong, Zyvera is still good, and she combos well with Skull. Plus, if you can get her to level 3, you have Soul Link. But you don't have great health pools with most of your models.
Yeah, I mean, you did give me Skull, which you can cut the Bulwark.
Mm-hmm.
So I have seen a few people do that combo where they do...
Very much so.
Like, the Bulwark something, and then you'll cut the Bulwark off to, like... All right, I'm just going to treat it as 5 true damage instead of, like, a health, you know, protection tool.
Correct. And I'm well aware I gave you that tool, right? But it's one of those things that you and I have both had this conversation before about Zyvera.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest problems you have with her is she always seems to be like one hex out of place, or she's just in that wrong position at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I was like, well, let's give you the elderly soul gazing cow and see what you can do with her in this setup.
All right.
So then I went in and I grabbed you, and since I was like, okay, you have Skull, who else am I going to grab you? I'm going to try to stay away from defenders as much as possible. And so I went in and I actually grabbed Ashel.
Okay.
And Ashel has potential for big damage, but we've talked about this before. While he does have potential for big damage, because he is a 2-action shot, it minimizes the amount of stuff he can do in a turn if he's doing that shooting. So I was like, yes, you have one big damage piece, but he's very limited to the number of shots, right?
Yeah, the 2-action stuff is just very... It can be good or it can go really bad.
Yep.
And so it's Ashel is one of those that can have those kind of issues, so that makes sense.
So then after I grabbed Ashel, I then went and I went looking and I was like, what else am I going to use? Well, let's grab Gendris. And part of my choice for Gendris is because, yes, she has 2 hex, but it only applies during her turn now.
Yeah.
And she does have some other useful tools, like she can drop the forest. She can give the extra move, right? So I was, it was still that aspect of how can I give you some tools that you can possibly win with,
mm-hmm.
but still be like, you're struggle bussing this.
Yeah, I mean, Gendrys is probably one of my most played models. Though, funny enough, I've been playing a bunch of Gruul without her lately, with Lorybella instead.
Yep.
That's a side note and a discussion for a different day.
Right.
But yeah, I was a little surprised when I saw this that you gave me Gendrys. I'm like, oh, that was unexpected. But with the nerfs to 2-hex, not being in Gruul, definitely impacts the amount of value she brings. That's right. For sure.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was at with this. Was I was like, yeah, it gives you the ability to get some extra movement. It does give you the ability to drop a wild growth where you want it. You know, it gives you some of that ability to block some stuff off, and she's still a decent Soul Gazer at Soul Harvest 5.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the fact of, realistically, she's going to be playing that game where she wants to be shooting people.
Yep.
And even then, it's still, you're going to probably have to engage me with some stuff, which means I'm then still pulling dice off of you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my thought there. Now, the last spot, I debated. Like I said, I debated multiple points on what this last spot was going to be. And I spent a good solid probably hour poring over what model I wanted it to be. Because, obviously, I have to be... You have to be kind of careful as to what you're going to give somebody.
Okay.
Right? Like, I wasn't going to give you Lori with having Zyvera and Gendrys in the list, because she's just going to heal bot them and then hand grenade my ass.
Yep.
Not going to happen. So I really had to do some thinking about it. And where I ended up landing was, I was like, who's a model that if they're on the table, yes, they can be annoying, but it's, they're annoying for like one or two things and then whatever, I don't care. And I ended up landing on Sky. We all know Sky has a good balanced sheet where he has some regen, he's agi 6, he has, you know, his diversion stuff that he can do, and he has some healing with Spirit Strike, right?
Yep.
But he's one model, and you and I have both watched him go down like a punk in other
games.
If
you have any kind of tool to deal with him, he can just kind of fall over, which, funny enough, can actually be Maltique.
Correct.
Because the Soul Harvest 4 is not terrible to shoot at with her.
No, it's not. So. You and I have watched her blow him up multiple times.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, while diversion is a thing that you have to kind of watch out for, you have to deal with, realistically, you're probably not spending the fate on Heroic Stand, even with this warband the way it is.
Yeah, maybe. Because
you might.
There's not a lot of fate required for this warband.
I'm not saying you won't, but I am saying you might not, because the fact you may be spending it on Maltique's true damage, right? You may be spending it on Ashel if he goes to your gets your first level to be able to start shooting into forests and things like that, or shoot into combat. You might be spending it on Gendrys to drop forests. So it's, while there's not a lot of fate requirements, there's still some. So it's like Heroic Stand's one you might do, you might not.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I ended up with. So the final warband ended up being Cradle, Skull, Maltique, as in God, and then Zyvera, Sky, Ashel, and Gendrys out of God.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts?
I thought it was very nice of you to give me an orb user in Krognar. The Gendrys is kind of funky in there, but it's Gendrys. I've used her a bit, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she does feel very weird in this warband.
Mm-hmm.
And she does feel very weak outside of Gruul now that 2-hex is nerfed.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some interesting tools here. Looking at, like, Sky, Zyvera, Gendrys, Skull, Cradle.
Yep.
Running something like that where, like, okay, I'm just going to abuse shifting my health pools around.
Right.
And then use Zyvera to heal up, Cradle to heal up. I don't know where the damage is going to come from in that. It's going to be very awkward. But it you know, if I've got that kind of warband, I'm pretty good at grabbing souls wherever they pop up with pretty good soul harvest values. So yeah, I don't like the warband. It's clearly something I would play. I also think you were a little bit nicer than I was.
Oh, so. I'm looking at what you gave me. I was a hell of a lot nicer than you were.
Yeah, you were like actually giving me stuff that makes like some amount of semblance of sense. And I took it to like the, all right, I'm giving you the worst thing I can give you.
Now, to be fair, we're going to get into your warband in just a second, right?
Yeah.
But like I said, if we both took it to that extreme, I think we both would have shown up with pretty much identical warbands.
I mean, we already have pretty similar warbands, so that's not...
We do. That's
not super far out, so...
No, but... So let's jump right into it then. Yeah.
So my
what warband did you give me?
For you. So, again, I titled it different, so I'm going to go through my thought process
of how I
came to it. So, Cradle is better, but I still think she's probably on the lower end, especially if you don't use her a lot. I think Cradle is a strong hero when used well. Mm-hmm. And I think Cradle is a very awkward hero to use if you don't use her a lot. Mm-hmm. I know they kind of nerfed her Shadow Mist a little bit before the final version of the patch, but it was also pretty bonkers beforehand because she could like triple walk and then teleport stuff away. And
right.
Very, very strong. So I'm pretty happy. I think she's in a pretty good spot. She has some very obvious deficiencies in her melee accuracy.
Right.
And then her damage grid is really bad into anything that has any semblance of res. And then she's undead, which has some benefits and some drawbacks. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go with Cradle.
And I mean, then, you know that I play her.
Yeah, I mean, you don't play her a huge amount, though. So, I mean, okay. I haven't seen you play her in a while, so.
Not in a while, but she's one of my undead boys, so.
And I definitely... I didn't tailor the warband specifically for you. I was just like, what is the worst warband I can come up with?
That's fair.
More the mentality I took. So Cradle, I think, is still probably one of the bottom of the barrel heroes.
I don't disagree with you on that.
I don't think the gap is as big, though, right? No. As some people think it is.
Yeah, I don't think it is either.
So I think she's okay. She also fits into gods I don't tend to play, and I think that's part of it, too. Like, I don't like playing Krognar, and I think that's where she's still by far the strongest.
Correct.
And then I was like, okay, I got Cradle, because I think she's pretty bad. And then I was like, well, I've got to give you a defender, so, like, who's a defender that is just not great? Well, that's Skull. Skull is a model. He's another model that I think people that... don't play him a lot, can miss a lot of what's on his card.
Yep.
People also think he can just like face tank like res 2 models can.
Yeah.
He definitely cannot. And his damage output is very, very swingy because you're not really doing a lot of dice.
Yep.
However, he has a lot of interesting tools. Soul Burn is very, very strong.
Yep.
Bulwark is arguably the best defender ability in the game, I think. It's got to be up there.
I think it's actually number 2 personally.
Yeah, so it's good. And then I also went with Maltique because again, it's the champion thing. And then once I reveal my god, it will make a lot more sense.
Oh, I think it'll make sense once you start going through the rest of them.
Yeah. So, and I actually was playing a bunch of Maltique in Gruul, and I actually think she's good. You have to be careful with how you play her.
Yeah.
And you have to be cognizant of like how you can get value from her. And if your opponent, I've had some opponents that haven't really like been aggressive into her, and then she just gets to go turret mode, and then she just loves life. And it like she can put out a lot of damage. She did get that nerf where the Soul Harvest went down, which kind of hurt her a little bit because she was someone that could kind of like, all right, I'm just going to kind of hang out near a Soul Pit. And then at Soul Harvest 4, I think she was Soul Harvest 4.
She was Soul Harvest 5.
Oh, she was Soul Harvest 5, and she went down to 3?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. I'm surprised she did a 2-digit jump on that. Okay.
I think it's because of how powerful needing a 7 on the Soul Harvest and then still shooting somebody.
Yeah, I think going to a 4 probably would have been fine. Because it's not like she was like tearing up the meta and everywhere, but and I actually quite liked Maltique when I was playing her, but I'm not. When I was looking at the worst things, I'm like, well, what if I give you Maltique with just no good tools to unstick her? And that was kind of like, okay,
yeah, we'll you're a you bastard, Maltique. I know.
Yeah. And then once I had that, then I'm like, okay, you know, what god can I play? And Cradle and Skull are both Krognar and Bruellen.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, Bruellen seems really good here because Maltique's not going to charge anything, so no Pathfinder. Second Wind, maybe.
If she kills somebody, baby.
Yeah, which I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I would want the Ring of Power over Second Wind on her.
Yeah, I mean, it depends.
And the thing with Maltique is she doesn't want to be shooting multiple different targets. She wants to be hitting the same target a lot. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Second Wind feels kind of meh on her. Skull probably doesn't kill a lot of heroes. Cradle probably doesn't kill a lot of heroes. So I'm like, okay, Bruellen, this feels good. Because like Maltique ain't going to charge. You get a little bit of effigy power value from Cradle and Skull when they charge, which, you know, not uncommon for them to want to do. So I'm like, okay, I've got my god, I've got my three champions. My next, I was like, okay, I need a Soul Gazer. I'm like, okay, what Soul Gazer is not good with what's already here? And I'm like, you know, Saiyan. I think Saiyan is very underrated as a soulist. However, in this warband, it gives you another model that doesn't have a melee attack, which can be its own kind of problem.
But she doesn't need it either.
She doesn't need it, but like if you want to try and push an opposing model, you can't do it like with her, right?
Yeah. So,
like, yes, she can shoot whatever's engaging her to push herself off, but you can't push that other model.
Very true.
And it also doesn't give you an extra person for a crowd out or gang up bonus. So I gave you Saiyan. I actually think she's still pretty good here just because it's Saiyan. Like,
She
feels like a Soul Gazer that can kind of go in pretty much any warband and just be fine.
Yeah.
She might not jump out on the page that she's going to do something crazy or anything like that. But I thought Saiyan, and she's another one that gets nothing from the god. Yeah. Like, she can't charge, so therefore, warband bonus doesn't do her anything.
I can't say that. You gave me the best Soul Gazer in the game because you didn't give me Marcus. But I think you gave me the second best Soul Gazer in the game because she has Augury.
Yeah, I mean, she's pretty good. And she doesn't need a lot of help to do much. Where, like, Zyvera tends to want to have a couple of things, which you gave me a few of them in the Krognar one. But because I could have just, like, randomly gave you a Zyvera here.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, Saiyan, I feel like, just doesn't get value from the god, and I thought that's value enough for me.
Sure.
Next up, I picked Ashel. So kind of in the vein of what, you know, for yours, it's a ranged character. Yes, it does damage, but it's very, you know, am I going to get my attacks off with the two action attack and that kind of stuff?
Yep.
So I thought Ashel, who's I've tried actually recently playing Ashel a little bit, and it kind of went good, kind of went bad. I think we talked about it a couple episodes ago. But the two action stuff sometimes can really limit the effectiveness of Ashel.
Right.
Therefore, I'm like, I'll throw Ashel in there. And then I went for Sky. Sky is another one that if you don't play a whole bunch, I think can feel weird to play.
Sure.
He's also one that if you have any kind of tool to deal with him, he can just completely fall over.
Yep.
So I want Sky. Sky, I think, was the one slot similar to you. I debated what to give you.
Right.
And I landed on Sky. Cause I also just, I don't know. I didn't know what to think about what to put there. So I'm like, you know, Sky makes sense. And then for my last slot, I actually went with Zim.
Yeah,
and a lot of people don't like Zim. I've actually kind of like Zim a fair amount with some warbands I have him in. But it gives another model without a melee weapon.
Yep.
Which I thought would be kind of interesting. However, Zim does have the swap, so he, or switch.
Yep.
Switch, swap, whatever. Switch, I think. Which actually does give you a tool to unstick things.
Yep.
However, like, if you swap a Maltique out and Zim in, like, are you really in good shape? Right?
So my answer to you is, yeah, actually, I'm okay with this.
Okay.
Because that also gives me Ice Storm.
True. I mean, Ice Storm is good, but it is like, it's like, okay, I'm going to possibly sacrifice my Zim, because Zim's not the most tanky guy.
No.
And then he also can't shoot while engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Zim, and again, someone that is never going to charge, so never going to get value from, you know, the warband bonus.
Yep.
So I did kind of go with what I thought was some of the worst heroes and kind of went from there. Interesting that we were trying to go different. Like, you had a bit different of an approach. We're like, okay, I kind of want to actually give you some tools to play with.
Yeah.
And I went the opposite route, and we still landed on, what, five of the same heroes?
Five heroes, yeah.
So I think that's kind of intriguing that it ended up that way. But yeah, I think.
So let's cover this real quick. Before we keep talking about this. So the final warband was Bruella and God with Cradle, Skull, Maltique in God, then Saiyan, Ashel, Sky, Zim out of God.
Yes.
And so, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, man. So when I built this warband, I hadn't seen what you had put in here, and stuff, because obviously I didn't want to taint the idea of the building prior by looking at your warband and be like, oh, that dude gave me a bunch. What a dick. Let's go make a really bad warband, right? Like I said, and I like the fact that we both came at it from two different approaches, like you were saying. And we still came up with like five of the same heroes.
Yeah, that was a little interesting.
I do think that's really interesting. I like the fact that two of the differences were Zyvera and Saiyan, right? The Soul Gazers.
Yep.
I think that that's a really interesting concept that we both looked at that and went, well, they're both useful, but they're not as useful as maybe some of the other Soul Gazers, right? So I think that's kind of a funny little thing that we both looked at and went, ah, this is interesting from different perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a lot to be made about, you know, what's the worst hero and worst heroes. 'Cause I think we've gotten asked a couple of times to like do tier lists and some of that. And we've been asked a couple of times to make like, oh, what's your like most competitive warband or whatever as well.
Right.
You know, kind of the opposite of the spectrum from this. But I think there's a couple of things that are both things that we very clearly went for.
Yep.
In this to, or not things we went for, but things we wanted to avoid.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of almost what's more interesting
is
we avoided giving our opponent a res to like tank. Which, again, it's a pretty common thing to want. A lot of warbands will actually take multiples to guarantee that they can have a tank.
Yep.
So I think, obviously, we both kind of went away from that. Now, granted, we did both do double defender with, you know, Skull and Sky, but they're not your stereotypical kind of tank.
Guy. And Sky, like, the thing about Sky is, realistically, I've stopped classifying him as a, like, tank.
Yeah, defender or whatever.
Yeah, even though he does have the defender keywords or whatever and all that stuff, like, I've stopped thinking about him in that capacity. I think he's got a once active ability, right? Every turn that's going to be used. Or if you spend the fate on him, he's got something else going. But he's really just a bruiser. And, like, that's the way that I think about him now, is he's a bruiser that has he's a high-dex fighter bruiser. Basically.
Yeah.
And so, like, I landed on him going, yeah, okay, you can divert something if you want to from, you know, whatever you give me, but it's one shot you're diverting. It's one attack you're diverting. It's not like it's cool, you're going to divert, you know, you're not going to be able to basically pull that to a res 2, res 3 model. You're going to pull it to him and split it amongst your warband, and then I'm still getting damage across the whole thing. So that's where I landed on with Sky.
Yeah, I think he's one that you got to play a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things, too, is some of the things that went after in mind were, if you're not as familiar with them, you're going to be less likely to get value from them. So I think, like, Ashel's one, if you're not really careful with your positioning and how to play with them, you might just not do a whole lot.
Yep.
Zim's a lot more forgiving with the switch.
Yep.
And, you know, just kind of how he plays. And he's also base magic 8.
Yep.
You know, without an item, which I think helps a lot. But you can, I've seen him where people kind of just get him into bad spots, and then, you know, his only real thing is to walk away and take that parting blow.
Yep.
Or to switch something in. If you don't have something worthwhile to switch in, it can be bad. And
yep.
I just kind of went for some of that stuff. And I think Maltique's another model that if you're not practiced with her,
yeah,
can be a little bit harder to use, depending on what your opponent does with her. So, and I think the other thing that's very glaringly missing is, like, melee damage.
Yes.
It's obviously very, very missing in what's here.
For both of us, in fact.
Both of us were like, yeah, we're not going to give you a melee damage dealer. And I think there's a couple reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
The big one is you need somebody to be able to kill monsters early.
Yep.
And handle monsters. I don't think... And what's interesting is Cradle and Skull aren't terrible at it if you give them a Hunter's Knife.
Yep.
So if you, like, buy the Hunter's Knife, hand it to one of them, they can kind of get the kill pretty easy, and then you can swap the Hunter's Knife off of them if you want or whatever. But that seems to be one of the more reliable ways to secure shrines and kills, is, like, having a more accurate melee damage dealer in those scenarios.
Yep.
And we both decided, like, yep, no, you're not getting any of that.
Nope.
And you know, melee damages are also a bit easier, I think, to use at times, right? Because it is like, oh, I can't engage them to make them way less effective.
Right.
Like, oh, I engage your Ashel, he's probably gonna have a bad time.
Right.
You know, same with Multique. Like Ashel at least has a chance to push off with, like, a melee attack and then, like, shoot that person in the face.
Right.
Like, that's not optimal, but at least you can kind of, yeah, like... Maltese's like, I have to walk away and take that parting blow.
Yep.
But I think there's some ways you can actually turn that into not being as bad. Like, if you put, you know, like, a Leech Blade on her.
Yeah.
Because she is steady.
Yep.
So she can walk out of combat, take that parting blow.
Yep.
And then shoot to regain her health.
Which means she doesn't have to repair.
Yeah, and because she is a magic dealer, it's not like she can aim.
Right.
Like, the big thing is it is one less shot, which obviously matters with the way the psychic or psionic tokens or whatever. Yeah. So, like, how those tokens work, obviously it's a very big deal. Getting a third shot that you've damaged twice that's doing +2 damage on the end is a big deal.
It is.
But she can kind of, like... All right, I'm just going to walk away. You can't knock me down to kill my activation. I'm going to be okay. And then just blast people. So so there is some value there still, if you're aware of some of that, which I don't think the Leech Blade parting blow is a thing that people necessarily pay attention to.
Not really.
Because I know people used to do it a lot with Alendir in V1. I think there was a handful of players that did it where they're like, all right, I'm going to take a parting blow against my Agi-5, and it wasn't to a minimum of 3 dice.
Right.
Like it is now, so you're like, okay, I'm going to take like a 2-dice parting blow or 3-dice parting blow. Odds are you're not going to knock me down, and then with Leech Blade, I'm just going to recover the health I just lost. I just don't care.
Right.
You know, with Mark Target and stuff, if you're going to Mark Target, aiming is not as crucial, or if you got a Heartseeker on Alendir, so...
Yeah.
So there's some interesting stuff there with the Leech Blade. But you definitely, I feel like we're both going to have to be a little creative. What's also interesting...
I think I'm going to have to be a little more creative, but that's okay.
Well, what's interesting, too, is the big detriment to some of these characters is, like, diving them with melee.
Yeah.
and neither warband actually has that, right? So like you like you have some components that have melee, right? Like Cradle's gonna want to be in there, Skull's gonna be in there, Sky, you know, depending on who makes it through the immunity phase.
Right.
Right.
Like that's the thing, but that I'm almost looking at, and I'm really interested to see how this goes, is the immunity setup.
Yeah.
But where were you going with this?
But the thought process is like the big detriment to both of our warbands, yours a bit more than mine, right? Because you have more people without a melee attack.
Right.
Is getting dove on by melee, and the other warbands just don't have it.
Yeah. Right?
Like one of these warbands against, you know, a bit more of a standard warband.
Oh, these would get crushed. Would
just, I feel like would just get.
Let's be real. The warband I built for you, I actually think you still might be able to do fairly decent.
There might be some like soul gazing shenanigans and bouncing around that might kind of work. But,
I think you have some tools that you can do with that. My warband? Oh no, my warband would be treated like the redheaded stepchild that it is.
Yeah. So that is the what's kind of interesting, right? Is I think that both of them have a lot of the same problems, but neither warband has that like solution.
Yeah.
To it. So might make it very interesting.
Yeah.
Whereas like, yeah, I think if you play just, you know, a bit more of a standard warband against them, like it would not do well. Like it's hard in the game of Judgment to not be able to put models on the table that can like play a game.
Yep.
Like, yeah, you might not be optimal. You might be a little bit behind or, you know, unfavored, but it's pretty rare where you can put, you know, 5 miles on the table and literally just not have any chance to win.
Mm-hmm. We may have achieved this.
These are trending that way a little
bit. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, right? Like, I played the Four Undead Warband, right?
Yeah.
And that was a warband that people were convinced would not do well.
Yes.
And to this day, I'm still not going to sit here and be like, yeah, it's the best thing ever. No, it's definitely a struggle bus of a warband.
Yeah.
Because you are putting some big detriments on the table with putting four undead on the table.
Yeah, there is a bit of that to it.
I will never say that it's an easy thing to do. But I mean, even in the games where I put three undead on the table because I was forced to take only three of them, you know, it didn't, like I said during those when we talked about those really early on in the podcast, I didn't feel it like I was as big of a detriment because instead of worrying about being on a shrine and taking fate away from people,
mm-hmm.
I felt like the shrines were more of a trap for my opponent now because it's like, cool, I don't have to worry about them. I'm just going to kill you.
Yeah.
And
you're just going to go after the kill because you can't really contest the shrine. So it's like, well, I don't need to put effort into contesting that shrine. I can just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. And while you're putting a model over there to take it and hold it, there's a 5v4, right?
Yeah, or something, yep.
Or a 3v2, or whatever it turns out to be. And I could just focus on killing you, and then where does that soul go? Oh, that soul goes back to my one model who's in the back row.
Yeah.
That's still alive. Guess what? You're not getting to him. So, I think it's really interesting, like, that we've come to even that list. While I won three out of my four games that I played with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will once again put out there that it had some playtest models in it, such as Ramona and Asbrand, which definitely
did it have Asbrand in it?
It did. It did have Asbrand in it. It was the four undead plus Ramona, or so plus Asbrand, Ankura, and one other model. I don't remember who the other one was right offhand, but it was one of those things that I played that thing on purpose to try playtesting some ideas, but I still never felt like I couldn't win a game with that.
Yeah.
Looking at both these warbands, I mean, I still feel like I could win a game with the one I gave you, like I said, because that's the spirit I built was gives some tools that you can try.
That it's actually doable.
Yeah, that it's actually doable. It's still really freaking bad, and you're going to have to work your ass off for it. But I think it's doable. You gave me a warband, which I appreciate, by the way. I do appreciate this.
I mean, it was called the worst warband challenge.
It 100% was. And, like, that's why I actually really like that we did it this way, where we set up the rules, but then we didn't talk about the way we were going to come at it, right?
Yeah.
Because I honestly had a feeling that you were going to come at it from this aspect, where it was just, I'm going to give you the worst possible options for a god that can't use any of this stuff.
Yeah, and, like, the thing that's kind of interesting is the... is that they're both not good against, like, the normal kind of warbands that are out there.
Yeah.
But, man, is it going to be a weird game against each other. Because, right? Like, the biggest glaring problem neither warband truly has. So that's...
Yeah.
That's the thing that's kind of funny about this. So, yeah. I think it will be fun.
Yeah.
And then I might almost want to try this warband, like, on just a game night.
Yeah.
Like, against a normal warband.
Try it one of these nights against your brother.
Yeah. And just see what happens. So I think we've kind of covered the warbands pretty good.
Yeah.
So the plan is that when next week,
mm-hmm.
Which, okay.
So, again, next week releases, by date.
By date.
Let's go by date here.
Yep.
We are going to, on, at this point, I believe next Thursday is what the plan is. So that would be August 17th.
August 17th, yep.
We are going to do a live stream?
We are going to do a live stream. So we do have a Twitch channel that has been very, very sparsely used. It is just twitch.tv/, I believe, The Summoned Podcast,
mm-hmm.
Is the Twitch channel. And we're going to play each other live. So we invite you all to join us. I'm sure we'll post in the Discord when we're going live. We don't have, I think, tentatively 9 o'clock Central.
Yep. It'll be tentatively 9 Central.
Tentatively 9 Central, somewhere around there. We'll fire up Vassal.
I assume, Wonky, you'll have Vassal fired up ahead of time, so
yeah, jump in. Yeah, I'll probably get the stream going a little bit earlier than that and just, you know.
Yeah.
We can just, you know, have, you know, hang out in the chat and we do it. But so the plan will be to stream it and then we'll upload it at some point to our YouTube channel that does technically exist but has nothing uploaded to it yet, which I have some historical content from the podcast, we'll call it that. Some of the videos are a bit old, then we'll put on there. So if you don't get to watch it live, you can look forward to our YouTube channel. I believe it's also just The Summoned Podcast, I believe, on YouTube. I would have to sanity check that.
Let me see if I can sanity check that real quick.
We'll be playing against each other live. Come hang out in the chat. Obviously, it'll be a very, very serious game with these two warbands. We don't have a map yet, so I think we'll roll up a map, you know, night of,
and we'll I don't think we'll roll up the map ahead of time.
Yeah, so no, neither of us have pre-strategy.
Yep, no pre-strategy. It's all freaking, right on, you know, the day of. Let's see. Interesting. Yeah, we'll have to do some double checking on the YouTube channel and get that correct to make sure.
So we'll get uploaded and then, so we'll play the game. And then I think the podcast we have to, we'll probably talk a bit about the game and kind of recap and some thoughts and stuff. So, that's kind of our plan coming up here. And we hope you'll join us for the Twitch stream game. But I think outside that, anything else you want to add, Fabius, before we head off for this one?
There is one thing I want to ask. Okay, so, and I'll save that. I'll save that for later when we talk about these warbands after the game.
Okay.
I think that'll be a good question to ask at that point. So,
all right.
In that case, Everybody, we thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Summoned. We really appreciate you guys continuing to listen in. As always, if there are topics that you wish us to cover in the future, if you have your own worst warband that you want to submit to us, so we can check them out, try them out, maybe talk about them, please submit them. If you have a best warband that you want us to talk about it, submit it. We'll talk about it. We're always happy to do that. Throw it up in the freaking, you know, podcast and stream channels, tag us with it, and we're happy to pull that into ideas or DM them to us. In the meantime, as always, guys, the game is out there. Go out, play your games, enjoy, and Wonky, let's portal on out of here.